And good morning, Cave Spring Baptist Church. I am a Hokie, through and through. My dad was a Hokie. I met my wife in Blacksburg. I'm a Hokie, Forestry and Wildlife, 95, which goes good with pastoring churches and working with people, the wildlife part of it. My uncle was a Hokie. As I mentioned, my dad, 77. And my son graduated from Tech in Forestry and Wildlife. He's working in Greenville, North Carolina. And my middle daughter, something happened. She's a Cavalier. And we prayed for her, and this is all this stuff, you know, and just God didn't answer. And my youngest daughter is studying nursing at UT Knoxville, so she's a volunteer. And that's kind of what we got going on in our family. It's a mixture. My wife was looking for a flag to hang outside in front of our house. She found one that had VT and UVA, like, on one flag. A house divided, the Bible says, doesn't stand. I don't know how that works. We could not find the trio. We could not find Tech, UVA, and Tennessee all on one flag. And so anyway, if you'll pray for us, I would greatly appreciate it. If you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and we'll begin in verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." And notice this. "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." The doors have been locked. Jesus has been crucified on the cross. The man that they gave their life to. The disciples left everything to follow this man, left their nets, left all their life behind. That guy was now dead. And if there was ever a fearful group of guys, it was this group. And in less than a minute, maybe a few seconds, we don't know exactly how long, when they were studying their fear, Jesus shows up in their presence and says, "Shalom, peace." It was some of his first and last words before his ascension. The final point of Christ's words to the disciples on the occasion of his first appearance to them and after his resurrection was that they now had a job to do. This thing isn't over. In fact, in many ways, it's just beginning. And so he spoke John 20, 21 to them, "Peace. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." It's in a sense the interpretive key to summarize really everything that Jesus came to do, to save the lost, to redeem us. And I believe in that short account, what we're seeing is the sending missionary nature of God. In fact, Scripture teaches us over and over and over again, the Old Testament, New Testament, starting in Genesis, that our God is a missionary sending God. He is a sending God. The Hebrew word for send, to send, is shalak. It's found nearly 800 times. While it is most often used in a variety of non-theological sayings and phrases, it is employed more than 200 times with God as the major subject of the verb. In other words, it is God who commissions, and it is God who sends. Now, we're grateful for Cave Spring Baptist Church, and sending Sam and Emily to Chicago. All of our church planters in our SIN network must have a sending church to come along beside them and send them out to cities to plant new churches. But all of us know that at the end of the day, it is God who sends. It is God who worked through Sam and Emily from a flight delay or flight rerouting in Chicago. It was God who spoke to their heart, and it was God who confirmed the calling in their heart to go to Chicago. It is God who sends. You guys just came through Exodus. The book of Exodus, really, if you look at it, is all about sending. In chapter 3 of Exodus 10 through 15, there are 6 verses with 5 references to God sending. And God sent Moses to confront Pharaoh for redemptive purposes. In fact, as we read through the Bible, God always sends people for redemptive purposes. And God has a word that he wants spoken to a people. And so what does he do? He sends. He sends people to places. I think about Acts 8. In Acts chapter 8, Philip is in Samaria and is, for all intents and purposes, he's experiencing a very fruitful ministry. God is moving. The town is being transformed. Things are happening. And if Philip would have sat down with me and said, Josh, what should I do next? I would have probably said something like, you need to have a third service or a second service or hire some staff, or you need to ramp up this ministry. But instead, God spoke. And God spoke to Philip and said, I want you to go somewhere. Well, where did God have Philip go? Well, if we'd have done a demographic study on the place where God had sent Philip, you know how many people would have been there? Zero. It made absolutely no sense whatsoever for God to leave the hustling, bustling ministry of Samaria. And Philip was a major part of what was happening there. God sent his best to the desert place, we know, to do something. He didn't have every plan laid out. He didn't understand everything, but Philip just went. And it just so happened. Now, I believe in God's great kindness and providence. So when I say it just so happened, it didn't just happen. As Philip was sent to the desert place, it just happened to be an Ethiopian eunuch out there in the middle of nowhere. Was an accident. No. God knew. God's a sending God. God knows. And so what did Philip do when he saw the eunuch? The Bible says that he ran to the eunuch. And it just so happened that the eunuch was reading the book of Isaiah, coming back from Jerusalem, because he was searching and looking for answers. And he was reading the book of Isaiah that was talking about specifically a redeemer, a Messiah, a Savior. And the eunuch asked Philip, who is this prophet talking about? Now, don't you think Philip was excited? Let me tell you who. Anybody want to guess who he was talking about? Jesus. Jesus. And so Philip was able to unpack Jesus right there in the middle of nowhere, because God is a sending God, and God spoke to Philip. Philip said yes. Philip went, and God orchestrated and had orchestrated all of these things. Eventually, there was a baptism. Go figure. Out in the middle of nowhere, there was a baptism. And then it's said by most historians that the eunuch who came from the area of Africa we call Sudan, went back to Ethiopia and evangelized Ethiopia. And at a very early date, we believe that the Ethiopian was one of the first missionaries back to his country. And according to the church father Irenaeus, he became a church missionary to the Ethiopians. Can I just tell you, church, our God is a sending God. It's his nature. It's who he is. And I want to take a moment to go on record and thank you, Cave Spring Baptist Church, for being a sending church. Thank you for your partnership in the gospel. Thank you for what you've done to raise up young men to be sent out to start new churches. Can I just share a few wins with you today? Some things that are happening across Virginia and across North America. Since 2010, Southern Baptists have planted more than 10,000 new churches all over North America with over a 90% sustainability rate. Well, what does that mean? That means after 3 to 4 years, they're self-sustaining. In other words, God's using them to reach their local communities, and now they're supporting themselves. That's us, by the way. You can say you're part of that. You can say you're part of sending Sam and Emily to Chicago. It's not there, we got some people going over there. No, we're sending people there. You're a part of that. Because we do it together, we can do more. We reach more. We disciple more. In Virginia, we need to plant at least 56 churches per year to reach some measly 1% of the lost population over the next 10 years. Or if the churches multiply and take ownership of planting new churches, we can cut that number in half. This past quarter here in Virginia, there were 169 salvations in our church plants. So our new church plants across Virginia right now are reaching people, reaching the lost. There were 44 baptisms, 1,552 gospel conversations across our state through church plants. 1,393 individuals are participating in intentional discipleship relationships at our church plants. That's a lot of people. Now think about when those people that are being discipled start making disciples, that make disciples, that make disciples, and then I like to say that plant churches, that plant churches, that plant churches, all of a sudden, we're seeing a difference. We're seeing a movement across our state. And because of our partnership together, we're doing this, we're a part of it. Speaking of Ethiopians, I want to share a quick story. In Metro Washington, D.C., in Northern Virginia, it's the largest Ethiopian community outside of Africa. So think about that for a moment. Where's the largest? Ethiopia. Okay, well, where's the second largest? Well, certainly, probably somewhere in Africa. No. The second largest population and concentration of Ethiopians is less than 4-hour drive from here in Northern Virginia and Washington, D.C., and speaking of shellac or to send, it's not always easy to send. It's not always easy to send your best out. A Sin Network Ethiopian church planter, Samnus Alamu, has been faithfully planting a church over the past 4.5 years in the D.C. metro area. God sent Samnus to the U.S. in 2013 from Ethiopia to plant a church. The whole time, he was believing that his wife and 2 children would follow soon after. Just a few months later, I'll go first, and they'll be right behind us. But due to complications and persecution, that few months turned into 11 years. Since he has come, many efforts have been made to petition on his behalf, various government organizations, congressmen. He couldn't return to his country for the same reason he left. He would be persecuted. And for 11 years, he's been watching his family grow up on video conferencing. Our team has been praying for God to intervene. Well, about a month ago, God has answered our prayers. Samnus's wife and 2 children, one is a young adult now, got their visa approval and arrived in the U.S. in early March. This May, Samnus will get on a plane with his family, fly to California, and walk across the stage at Gateway Seminary to graduate with an MDiv in ministry. Samnus has been greatly supported over those years by our cooperative efforts. I think I have two photos on the screen of Samness reuniting with his family at the airport. Can you imagine seeing your family for the first time after 11 years? Just one story of how God is working supernaturally among church planters all around Virginia. In December 2023, a pastor by the name of Ehab Grace, who is Egyptian, planted a church in Manassas, Virginia. Philip Amofa, who's Ghanaian in Woodbridge, Virginia. Daniel Fesala, Eritrean, he planted in Harrisonburg, Virginia. A guy named Manny Bakil, he's a second-generation Ethiopian who planted in Alexandria, Virginia, were onboarded as fully endorsed NAM church planters. Pastor Amofa and Pastor Tess are being sent out from previous church plants within Sin Network, showing that local immigrant majority churches are owning the mission and multiplying next leaders. In other words, what we're seeing happening is churches are planting churches that plant churches that plant churches. Come on, you help me out. That do what? You're getting it, that plant churches. We're not just seeing churches planted. We're seeing churches planted all over our state that are planting churches. There is a movement. Also, Ehab Grace's efforts are already yielding fruit among Muslim background Arabic speakers, as he has already baptized several people in his church who have crossed over to Christianity from the Muslim faith. Colleen, I think I have a picture of her up here, was converted from Islam to Christianity. She was recently baptized. I actually blocked out her photo due to religious persecution. I think I have another picture of her up there right after her baptism. She was a Muslim. Pastor Ehab Grace began to share the gospel with her, him and his wife. Eventually, she crossed over and received Christ. And not long ago, a lady in his church converted to Christianity, went back to her homeland, and was murdered because she became a Christian. We pray for Muslims who are converting to Christianity, and we pray for church planters like Pastor Ehab as he reaches Muslims in their heart language. We get to all be a part of that. And finally, one more story. The Copelands. You guys know the Copelands. There's a church in Roanoke, Virginia called Cave Spring Baptist Church. Anybody, raise your hand if you know about that church. Just check it, right? Sam and Emily are being sent out from your church to plant a church in Chicago. I was just reading Sam and Emily's prospectus up here earlier. They're close to 9 million people. 9 million people in Chicago and the outskirts of Chicago. There's not even almost close to 9 million people in Virginia. That's our population. So think about the whole state of Virginia. The whole state, including Northern Virginia, right there in Chicago where Sam and Emily are going. What a joy and a privilege it has been for me to get to know Sam and Emily. And our team at Sin Network is in prayer for you, Cave Spring, as you send Sam and Emily to plant in Chicago. I'm amazed at how our sovereign Lord used a plane redirect in Chicago to plant a church and use a couple to go to Chicago and plant Garden City Church. It's been our honor to walk along beside you. Our Sin Network team in Chicago is excited to receive them into this city. Nothing excites us more than to see the local church owning the responsibility of reaching the nations and reaching our country with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are excited to partner with you.